This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. Testing, 1, 2. You should hear a very nice vibration across your speakers as I speak to you this morning. Specifically, when I go, you feel that on your speakers? Isn't that nice? Good morning. The gorgeous Mabale Moloi is here. She's sitting right next to me.
Okay.
She goes, I'm not gorgeous.
Yeah, no, please. Stop with the lies. Yeah,
well.
Hello.
There's Sia Sangweni. Yeah, I'm not going to give you too many compliments.
Well, he's also ever so gorgeous.
I was going to say, you're going to do it yourself.
Thank you.
Amanda Romberg. Hello, Amanda. Say hello to everybody. I've got to tell you something. Amanda was so rude to someone that she met for the first time the other day because she discovered he was from a part of the East Rand that she looks down on.
So rude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So awkward.
No.
Yeah. Oh, please.
Wasn't rude.
We went to Anthea's for...
He knew exactly what I was talking about.
Oh, so he must just accept it here, Amanda. Is that what you're saying?
Snap.
All right, Amanda.
Ben is here, too. Hey, yeah. Ben. All right, so listen. Amanda walked up to this guy who Ben had brought to drinks at Anthea's. Yeah, it's on Friday.
A dear friend of mine who I hadn't seen in a long time.
Right, nice guy. Really, really nice guy.
Oh, so you have friends from the East Rand, Ben?
Yeah.
That's my thing, though.
I've got friends from all over.
You wouldn't say that. It's always like I'm just some immigrant. But then, you know.
Okay.
Within 2 minutes of him meeting Amanda, she's like, oh, where are you from? So he says, where's this place?
It's called Illiondale.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Amanda's face rolled up.
As soon as he said Illiondale, she looked at him like he'd said he'd crawled out of a swamp or something.
Wow.
And he'd only recently learned to breathe air instead of use his gills under the water.
She looked straight at his feet and up again. You know, when people somehow, she went into that look, that default look of like, what's going on here?
She judged him massively.
Ooh. Wow.
And he didn't even fight with her because he did kind of know that people look down on that suburb.
Yeah, but he wasn't expecting this barrage from some person he's just met in an environment he thought was friendly.
Yeah, no. She tore him down.
So, Amanda, what's wrong with people from Illiondale?
It's just so dangerous there, like you do not even understand. We started CPF because that place is flipping crazy.
You started what?
Community CPF. Policing Forum. CPF. Yeah, because of Illiondale.
Because of are they near you?
No, thank God.
So they're far away, but you still have to start a community policing forum just because they're in there, roughly
crazy.
The area.
Wait, what, Amanda, you set up the night's watch halfway between you and them?
No, they built the wall.
Just, Ben, why don't you actually be a good friend and go visit your friend and then you report back and tell us how you felt there.
Oh,
but he was a great guy. Like, snap. Just because he lived there didn't mean he wasn't great. So, yes.
All right, well, I was flummoxed by the whole thing. Anyway, it was very, very cool fun. I know Mubs was working, so she couldn't come, but all the rest of us were there, and it was very nice. Anthea does have this very sexy roof on her building.
It's the greatest, one of the greatest bars, let alone work bars.
That's beautiful.
It's amazing. There's a putting green up there. There's like this big deck area, amazing views of like Joburg.
Yeah, great sunlight for great photos.
And one of the most stocked bars you could ever think of. So normally, you go to a work bar, there's like one vodka, one gin, one whiskey, two beers, tops.
Oh, they had every kind of beer.
Across the board.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, for people who work hard for their money, it only makes sense that
that's it.
When they turn up,
exactly,
they turn up.
Yeah.
But Mubs, it wasn't just the drinks. There was vegetarian durovos.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. That's when you know someone is a great and gracious host.
Sierra was eating the meat.
Oh,
meat substitute.
And
yeah.
he was gobbling it down like it was New Year's Day.
I mean,
it was
He usually does.
It looked like dried out dog's pizzle.
It looked like a dog had a number two, but I mean,
thought that counts. Oh, exactly. That they went, you know, over the top for me.
I saw you hitting it off with a bunch of those girls who work with Anthea. You were chatting up a storm with them. I suddenly looked at you and thought, you know, you could be equally successful straight. Really?
Even though, alas, I know. Really, because
those girls were eating—they were eating out of your hand.
And then he was like with the butts by the bra as well. See, you really were a chameleon there, huh?
I was so proud of myself for being at the bra. You know, because we were.
I'll tell you what—we're going to hire Sia out. It's going to be expensive. It's going to be like 10,000 rand an hour.
Yes.
And he's going to come and
service exactly.
You're just going to go. You're going to make the party gel, because a lot of these parties I've been to, you have little offshoots and people go into these satellite groups and then they don't really talk to each other.
Yeah.
And if CO is there, he would bring everyone into the maelstrom.
Yeah, it's almost like a social pace setter. Like, you know, when you get the 5,000 meters, you get a guy who sets the pace to make sure everything's going to be okay.
Okay.
Just throw a CO in there.
Yeah, Sia would be
just
able to.
Just throw a Sia.
Yeah, you could almost be like a border collie at a sheep's party.
Yeah.
Thanks.
But I mean, you'd
heard them. So valuable now.
You'd herd them into the right areas.
But also, because you'd be one of the first people to do it, you could charge an arm and a leg and just like set the bar really
high. You call yourself the social engineer, the social specialist. Don't say engineer, because people, that's
social
that's
compass. You just direct everything.
So not moral compass.
No, social compass.
See, I mean, you created a lovely contrast on Friday, because there was the awkward abrasive behavior of Amanda, and then there was you.
Awkward and abrasive behavior.
What
I liked is we had to wait till about something to five until everyone really truly warmed up, because that's when the markets closed. So they were still all by the bar, but they were having tiny little sips of their drinks because they couldn't
watching
really,
the numbers.
Yeah, they couldn't really lose it. You know, they were still on the clock. Mm. Oh, after five. Oh,
then all bets are off.
Oh, that's when the real
but
fun
I,
started.
I kept looking because I thought either I go before the traffic or after. And I mean, I eventually got home at like 7, but it was fine. I had a great time.
Were you stuck in a lot of traffic?
Not too bad. If I'd left when I wanted to leave at the beginning and I hadn't made the right call to stay and actually have fun for a change, because I'm incapable of doing that for myself, then I would have been stuck in much worse traffic. And it didn't help that on Friday morning I was already stuck for 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, when I drove past that orange truck that had... All the oranges were all over the road, by the way, and then there was a Sanrail Bucky full of oranges as well, so obviously they picked up as many as they could. Because you can imagine, if there's a lot of orange peels, there'd be a lot of danger on the road. Mm. Have to get that stuff off. That's why it took so long. Anyway, it was an old truck. One of those old ones with a round front. You know those ones? And it had all the oranges had been lost off the back. And I thought, you know, if they really thought about it, keeping people waiting for 2.5 hours, at least they should have given each of us 2 oranges. Don't
just
you
as
think?
A courtesy.
Like, as you drive past, they just like give you 2 oranges. Thank you, sir. Sorry for keeping you waiting.
And it's 2.5 hours. You need a light snack.
Yeah, you could have done with an orange. I was annoyed.
Yes, you were, Shem.
But what can you do? This happens to all of us.
So did this truck, I don't know, how did it lose its oranges?
I don't know. It must have smashed into something else.
Oh. Well, like everything. Lack of concentration at a key moment.
Yeah, and it just shows you think you're unimportant, right? That truck driver had no idea that he would be keeping everyone in Pretoria heading towards Johannesburg that morning in a pile-up, like gridlock traffic. He had no idea. The minute you think you're not important in the world, just think of that. If you did slam on brakes suddenly and create some crap on the highway, you would suddenly matter in the world in a bad way.
Oh, so the rest of his Friday couldn't have been great.
No
after
shame.
Losing all that stock.
Yeah, all those oranges.
Mm. How that even...
I mean, an orange truck. I mean, really. And of course, you know, there were like 1,000 people there gathered on the side of the road just grabbing oranges. Now, you're in Midrand on the N1. There is no way onto the highway unless you were already on the highway. Because you'd have to come down from an off-ramp. There's fencing and there's... Somehow there are a whole bunch of people grabbing oranges. Mm. It's like whenever there's a booze truck that turns over. Within, people come out of the anthills and under the lawns. And
it's true. You'll never see anybody in that rural
tunnels.
Situation.
No.
But watch a potato truck take a bit of a left turn into a ditch.
Suddenly there's a million people just picking up potatoes. You're like, where did you guys come from?
But speaking about accidents, there was one in the studio here, Gareth, on Friday.
What?
Which we only found out about after the show.
Oh. What?
Amanda, do you want to tell the full story? Because it is actually quite a...
What happened?
Quite a tragedy.
Oh, shame. So we were watching The Illusionist, and Crystal, who made the amazing cake, was sitting like behind Mubs's chair.
Huh?
And
yeah, we got a couch here behind where Mubs sits, and she was sitting there while obviously The Illusionist was doing his thing.
Yeah.
And Crystal had her foot out just by Mubs's chair.
Did I roll on her foot?
It was a mistake.
Oh, really? I didn't know this.
So Crystal is so nice that she sat with you on her toe.
No, guys, what do you mean?
And then she like...
This is like 5 minutes of her sitting on her toe. She doesn't even want to say anything.
So Mamali didn't just roll over her foot. Like
rolled onto
yeah. and stayed.
She parked on her foot.
And none of you saw this?
None of us saw it.
I didn't know about this.
We all staring at the illusion.
We thought Crystal was maybe in shock about the card thing. But meanwhile, you were on her foot.
Oh my gosh, I have to send her a message.
No, but she's so nice that she just sat there.
Yeah, she will lose her toe.
Like, I'm sure there were other people that, like, would have thrown you off. And eventually she pushed you. Yeah, it was bleeding.
It was bleeding?
She pushed you slowly and you still didn't feel anything.
Wait, guys, is she okay?
Like, no, well, she's now Crystal Nine Toes. That's what her new name is.
Oh no, guys. Why
Crystal Nine Toes.
No.
Why wouldn't she say anything?
Why wouldn't I feel it?
Well, girl, it ain't your toe that's getting crushed into smithereens.
Maybe Crystal thought this is also an illusion. This chair can't be on my toe. This can't be happening.
That's great.
This is an illusion.
How did she walk normally afterwards?
Did you not see her?
I didn't pick it up.
She hobbled.
No, but I mean, even after the fact, she didn't come up to me and say anything. I have to send her a message. That's terrible.
She was looking for painkillers.
Wow. Okay, I'm a monster.
But it happens to the best people, because the reaction could have been worse if it was someone else. She was just so chilled about it.
Hey, that illusionist. I got to tell you, that illusionist got a reaction out of everybody I haven't seen in a long time. Amanda was like, I'm going to go and see his show immediately.
It was great.
Yeah. And there were a bunch of other people who said they're going to go and see his show. Apparently just brilliant.
Yeah, if you did
the
miss
bit
it,
that I saw.
If you did miss it, go into Cliff Central's Facebook page, because there's the whole experience in VR. So you can see all of our reactions as it's being dealt out with the deck of cards.
Can you see the accident too?
I
tried to watch yesterday and I didn't see Crystal's face like twitching or anything at all. Like,
yeah,
she
because she didn't want to create any attention towards herself. I reckon we can zoom it in. I'll look to there.
Oh, you get the moment that my belly rode over her toes. Was it a big toe?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah. So which is the worst one to lose if you're going to lose a toe?
My buddy's rolling backwards and forwards now, testing out the chair.
I don't understand the scene how of I the didn't crime. Feel anything. Or maybe
if,
I was
check
just
if there's blood on the floor, Sia.
Wow.
Now I'm doubting your driving skills as well. Like, what? Who knows how many bodies you've just driven over? Oh, that was a big hump on the road. Just carry on driving.
Listen, I went to Rockets yesterday afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah. A friend of mine from Durban was up there, and she said, come. Yeah, exactly. It's December, right? So you're allowed to. And actually, Randall was there as well. So two of us caught up a little bit. And then we sat there. It was such a vibe. First of all, really lovely people. And such a mix. Such a real... like South African mix, just everybody. You got the blessers and the blessees. No, you got like everybody there. You've got like Afrikaans celebrities walking around. You've got dancers. You've got beautiful people, people who dress to the nines, people who are wearing shorts. You've got every kind of person there. It's all mixed up. And it's just such a nice vibe. It's like this is almost Cape Town and Joburg.
Did you go?
And I don't want to say that. I know Cape Townians are going to get upset when I say that, and Joburg people get upset when I say that, but it felt like, you know, if you go to Cape Town in December, there's that feeling that you get when you, you know, people are on holiday. And it just feels like a little kind of exciting and shaken up and different. That's how it felt.
Did you go into the rooftop?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So the sunset.
Oh, it was magic.
Drinks. They have a DJ up there.
Yeah, it was magic. Spiro was there. He was DJing. And he was terrific. Such a nice vibe, though. And I looked around and I thought, you know, we look at what's going on in the country and we see that there's this conference in December and people at each other's throats. And, you know, we've had this country, we've gone through some shit. We really have. And you look around at a place like that, and obviously these are rich people having fun, but I couldn't help thinking, you know, this is the example. Like, this is what we should be showing on the TV news. These people having a good time and making the most of their lives and enjoying things. Being in each other's company without bullshit. And there was no bullshit yesterday. It was fun. Everybody all mixed up. There weren't the white areas and the black areas and the colored areas. It was everybody mixed up. And I loved it. I just looked around and I was like, and you go down one floor, it's also mixed up and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a really good feel. And yeah, it was just a nice way to spend the Sunday afternoon. And then got home and got ready for this morning. So that was my Sunday. Saturday was very chilled. And Friday, what did I do? Oh, after Anthea's thing, I just went home. It was great. There were people trying to talk me into going somewhere. I was like, not interested. Not Amanda happening. Went out. I got photos from her at like, what, 2 a.m. or whatever.
Amanda, your voice notes were amazing.
Oh, there Uh-oh. We go.
There, no. But
no, they really were.
Yeah, no, it was... Yana. No. So, Friday was raucous, actually. It was mull, like it never.
What time did you get to bed?
I got to my friend's house at 3:00.
Oh.
And I said I'd sleep at her house. This is like the worst thing I've ever done. Said I'd sleep at her house, got into my PJs, and obviously like it's summer pajamas, so they're little shorts. So I get into bed and then all of a sudden I think like, I don't want to sleep here. I ordered an Uber. Jumped into the Uber with no shoes on, in my pajamas, and went home.
Wow.
It's not very, yeah.
Yeah. Classy. I mean, you have no business looking down on people from Ileondale. Yeah. That. Okay? Oh, you just don't.
Yeah, no.
That should be a shame.
I went to a foam party, actually.
Is that where you were?
At Madison's, yeah.
A foam party. Oh, my God. Really?
Oh, it was horrible.
Hmm. What a night, Amanda.
Shame. Shame.
Why was it horrible?
Shame.
The foam stinks.
Shame.
You can't see people from the other Shame. Side. So you get some drunk idiot running.
The foam
running.
Stinks?
Yeah. It oh, actually sis. Smells Shame. Really bad. And you have people Shame. From the other side just running Shame. Through the foam. So you don't see them.
And they smash into
like
you.
Bumping you.
Oh, no.
And the music was just Shame. Too much EDM. So it was crazy.
EDM, huh?
Shame.
All right, so I spoke to a lot of people about what they're doing over the holiday. It seems that there are a lot of people who aren't going away. Have decided they're not going anywhere. How do you like them? Anyone is anyone here going away? Sia, are you doing anything?
Well, you just, I think, do whatever works for you. I'm just taking a little week off, but it's just going down to Durban and going to Cape Town as well.
Oh, yeah, you said the family will be going. You all booked flights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and also very smart with the whole thing. I'm only spending, I think, like a day and a half with the parents.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, those are the good times. Anything after that, you then start fighting over who gets extra salad or something stupid because you're all getting on each other's nerves. Then the kids are running around. No.
Right.
Yeah. Day and a half and I'm like, great. I'm out of there.
And you, Mubs? You're going to go away?
Yeah, look, I've always believed that Christmas is for the family, Sia. New Year's is for the friends.
I
the
am
boyfriends.
Flying out of home at, I think, like 8 a.m. on Christmas morning.
Oh, wow.
So we wake up at 5:30. We can open and share gifts. We can sing kumbaya.
You know, that's how we. No, you are making everyone wake up at 5:30. They're not going, yay, Christmas, 5:30, let's wake up. Oh, yes, yeah.
Because I know.
Fucking Sia wants to fly early.
In our family, it'll just, the day becomes messy, really. So I'm getting out of there as soon as possible.
Well, less so because you're not going to be there. They're probably going to go like, oh, finally, it's an orderly Christmas. Christmas.
Sure, not at all.
Maybe they'll have a great Christmas once Sia leaves and he'll find out about it. Once he's, like, they're all having so much fun and they'll send pictures of how they've eaten a big breakfast together and they went out for the day.
They'll be holding hands, yeah, everyone smiling.
Everyone's my family photos and guess who's missing?
I'll probably be so crushed.
Can you imagine? And he's just got home and opened his empty apartment and walked in on his own.
It's like, oh, I'm the problem.
Yeah. They're all having a great Christmas without you.
Nah, I'll be fine.
Well, my brother and his kids are not going to be at home with us for Christmas, which is kind of annoying because without the kids, it's...
Wait,
a bunch of adults excited about the tree and the gifts? I don't think so.
Where are they...
They're going, I don't know, they're going to her parents or something.
Oh,
My sister-in-law's parents.
Yeah, as a married couple, you've got to do that thing.
You've got to split the time, right?
Take turns.
Ugh.
See, because it does seem to be true then. In a lot of families, as we get older, we kind of get over Christmas. But once there are younger kids, you know, nieces and nephews or grandkids for the parents, things then start, you know, this Christmas spirit comes back. So you actually do Christmas for the kids.
Yeah, you do. It's all for the children. But I've got to give my mother kudos. She's always made Christmas really special. The whole house gets decorated. There's this vibe there. It feels fantastic.
Oh, that's
why
nice.
I love Christmas so much. It's always felt really good. She knows exactly what the food and the music and the everything. It's all just very, very special. So it's my favorite time.
Well,
without
so
a doubt.
It's our first official week of December.
Yeah, can you believe that?
I heard from the team here that there's a specific Christmas file on the system with all the different Christmas songs. So we'll start playing that this week. I don't know if it's up yet, but
you're
going to
be breaking into song every day, aren't you?
Every day. All right, let's do something for Christmas. Here's Sia.
Oh, yay!
I'm going to give you a song and let's see if you know the words, all right?
Okay.
Where do we begin?
This is normal, right?
Oh, totally normal. Okay. You love it.
Sure.
All right, so here we go. Which one is this, Sia?
Hark now, hear the angels sing. The king was born today.
And that's about all we can handle for today, folks. That's all we got time for.
We'll do 5 seconds of this every day.
Yeah, there'll be a different song. 5 seconds of Sia driving you mad. And now you can understand why his family wanted to fly out at 8:30 on Christmas Day. All right, they say you couldn't find the perfect vegan pizza. Well, they said you'd have to eat a boring dry pizza bread again. But here you are, living the dream, enjoying your favorite pizza with vegan cheese at Kolkakia Pizzeria. Kolkakia Pizzeria, changing the way you think about pizza. And what do I mean by this? Well, we've got the 5 things you need to know today. So these are just 5 headlines from all over the world that will help you to understand a little bit more about what you're waking up to today. Kolkakia is, by the way, all over the country. There are about 35 branches nationwide. You will find one that is your style, your taste, and you'll find something on that menu just for you. There are 3 Cape Town households that exceed 1,000 liters of water a day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're coming to find you. While Cape Townians have been urged to reduce their water usage to below 87 liters per person daily, there are 3 households on average that exceed 1,000 liters per day. It was revealed by Patricia DeLille on Sunday. She said the properties, 2 in Pinelands and another in Thornton, were singled out for the installation of water management devices. They range between 19 and 48,000 liters a month. Can you believe that? She said that high water users maintain a stubborn attitude and have prevented city staff and contractors from accessing their properties to install these meters. At times, said Patricia, they even became aggressive and law enforcement staff had to accompany officials to install the water meters. Can you believe that? Imagine you using up all that water and then they come to check on you. You're like, get off my property.
Yeah, that's when you got to just spray paint the house with like...
This is a water abuser or whatever. Right. All right, other news. Let's see. We've got a popular web design tool that is a privacy nightmare. Just another warning from... There are software that people install on their computers all the time. They don't even know, but this stuff is full of spyware and malware. Ooh. It gets stuck into all of your apps. It goes and handles information. It pulls email addresses off of your server. All kinds of things it shouldn't be doing. And they say that over this holiday, it's a good time for you to clear out all of the bad emails, to stop spam from coming in and all that kind of thing. They say that you should use the couple of days that you have off, at least 1 or 2 hours of those, to sit down and actually clear out your inbox of all the stuff that you don't need. I love doing that this time of year. So it's not just me. That's a warning from all the smart people. Auschwitz inmates' chilling notes on a Nazi murder squad were finally discovered, or interpreted and deciphered. Apparently, there was testimony from an Auschwitz inmate who was forced to help Nazi murder squads, and it's finally been deciphered. There's a guy who was Jewish and Greek, and he wrote a harrowing account of how the Jews were packed like sardines into the gas chambers each day. And he wrote notes while he was in a concentration camp in Poland. They faded over time and have finally been decoded thanks to digital imaging, according to the BBC. So isn't that fascinating? After years, we discover how it really works. This is interesting. Edna Molewa, who's in the ANC, right, has slammed an article about a major change of policy by South Africa towards Morocco and the Western Sahara issue. Speaking in her capacity as chairperson of the ANC's International Relations Subcommittee, Molewa described the article by News 24 sister publication City Press as mischievous, untruthful, and twisted. President Jacob Zuma and the International Affairs Minister, Maite Nkwana Mashabane, met Morocco's King Mohammed VI and his delegation on the sidelines of the AU-EU summit, bringing together leaders from the AU and the EU. And City Press reported Morocco is set to send its ambassadors back to South Africa, and the two countries are expected to resume diplomatic ties, which were severed in 2004. Now, you know who's a big advocate of the Western Sahara thing?
Who?
Catherine Constantinides. Remember, she was telling us about the Zarara Warahari people?
Zahara.
Whatever. Yeah, those ones. You know.
Yes.
Mm. And then, finally, people are not impressed with Season 8 and Episode 7 recap of The Walking Dead. Nobody likes this show anymore.
Oh, shame.
After a particularly disappointing episode, the long-running zombie show improves slightly but is still heading in a worrying direction. Spoiler alert, they published this story after Walking Dead aired in the US on Sunday. And apparently it's not looking too good.
Huh. Let me guess, nothing's really changed. Just more people have died and more people have come into the plot. They're still in the same Google pin.
It's not good. It's just not a... I mean, they got so violent in that last season. Do you remember?
Yeah, it sounds like they've gone on a season too long already, as it is. They should have.
But this is the problem where there's no endpoint in sight. So there's comic books go on forever. So where does where's the show go? The show's like, oh, we can go on forever. But then what? It's like a like a buffet.
I'll squeeze in one more. Divers have discovered a 3,000-year-old castle in a Turkish lake underwater.
3,000 years old.
In the kingdom of Urartu.
Jeez.
Yeah. Divers were told there's probably nothing hiding under the lake's surface, but they decided to search anyway. You never know what's lurking under the water until you look. It's Lake Van, which is the largest lake in Turkey, and they discovered this lost castle. So if you want to know more about that, just look up Lake Van and the castle. You'll find out everything you need to know. That's enough for this morning. Let's turn our attention now to Ben and see what's happening in the sport. And the sport brought to you this morning by Land Rover Jaguar Menlyn. If you need a holiday, do you?
Well, yes,
of course you do. Do you need a car?
Yeah.
Right. But who can do both these days? Well, thanks to Jaguar Menlyn, you can. You can get into the new Jaguar XF this month and only start paying for it on March the 1st, 2018. Doesn't that sound good?
Down for that?
It's true. To find out more about this incredible deal and even more incredible Jaguar XF, just click on through to menlyn.jaguar.co.za, or you can give them a call in Pretoria. That's 012-369-2400. That's Pretoria, 369-2400, and arrange a test drive. Take that number down. Pretoria, 369-2400. Tell them that you heard it on cliffcentral.com, and they'll give you a little bonus, like you get a cappuccino or something. Sit down. They'll treat you like royalty. And if you want to find out even more and see some of the cars in person, you can head on down to the new improved Menlyn Jaguar dealership, which is located at 221 Gasfontein Road, just off the N1 highway in Menlyn. Let's turn our attention to Ben, see what he's got for us on the sport this morning.
So much, Gareth, so much of sport is the answer to that question, so I shall be quick. World Cup 2018, it was the big draw over Friday, so we wouldn't have got that on the Friday of sports. Here we are. Group A, Egypt, Russia, Saudi Arabia, and Uruguay. Uruguay, the big favorites of that one. Mm-hmm. Group B, Iran, Morocco, Portugal, and Spain. So Portugal and Spain drawn in the same group, two powerhouses of Europe. Group C, Australia, Denmark, France, and Peru. Bit of a group of death there because Peru are pretty good. Denmark, we know they're quite plucky. And then France, well, for many people, they are the World Cup favorites going into 2018.
Really?
Group D, Argentina, Croatia, Iceland, Nigeria. Another very, very tough group there. Group E, Brazil, Costa Rica, Serbia, Switzerland. Brazil, clear favorites there again. Group F, Germany, Korea, Mexico, and Sweden. Group G sees Belgium, England, Panama, and Tunisia. So Belgium have always had a great team, but never really performed at this level. And obviously huge, huge expectation on England this time around. It doesn't bode well for Panama or Tunisia there, although Panama would just be happy to be there. And then Group H, we've got Colombia, Japan, Poland, and Senegal. Very exciting. Very exciting. That is the World Cup draw. In other football news from the weekend, I was saying that the Telkom Knockout Cup was going to be resolved in ordinary time. So often, these domestic SA Cup competitions, they're going to horrible penalties where everyone makes a bit of a do-it of themselves, and eventually it's like 4-2 after 28 penalties are taken. But Wits, well done, Pule. 91st minute, wonder strike. Wits won 1-0 over Bloom Celtic. So finally, return to winning ways for Wits after a bit of a woeful start to the season. In the English Premier League, well, Man City, they just keep going. They were 1-0 down against West Ham, but like the true champions that they will be come May, I think that's when the league finishes, always forget. 2-1, they beat West Ham. Goals in the 57th and 83rd minutes. Carrying on, that's like 13 wins now. It's just ridiculous. They've only drawn one match, so they are 8 points clear, 11 points already in front of third place. It's just incredible how they're running away with this. Other big results, Man United, well, they absolutely thrashed Arsenal at the Emirates, 3-1. Again, Arsenal, they just go missing against the big teams, and there's no excuse for it, there really isn't. Spurs again dropping points, they drew 1-1 away to Watford, horrible result there. Everton with big meathead Sam Allardyce in charge, 2-0 over Huddersfield Town, big result there. Chelsea, they beat Newcastle, 3-1. And Liverpool, well, these guys look very, very dangerous with ball by the foot right now. 5-1, they beat Brighton's Hove Albion. Cricket, well, the Ashes are on right now, and it's not looking good for England. England had Australia 209 for 5. Australia eventually got 442 for 8 declared. This is after Joe Root decided that he was going to have a ball first because he thought the pink ball was going to do something. That's what everyone thinks, but this pink ball, well, it's like a catch. You never know what you're going to get out of it, but you get excited about, you know, getting involved. 4-4-2 for 8 declared. England are currently not looking so good. 88 for 4, and Root is gone. Yeah, so is Cook.
Rooted out.
That's it. So David Milan, alias Bailey Chris, up 15. And Mona
Lee. David Milan.
He's their sort of middle order batsman.
Okay.
He went to school in Nepal. And then Mona Lee's there too. So they are currently 354 runs back. But as horrible as things are off England right now, well, at least they're not in Delhi. Such is the horrible smog and shitty pollution that the Sri Lankans who were fielding yesterday were coming off the field and vomiting at various intervals. So much so that the team doctor had to put on full whites because he had to go and field, basically. The players were just falling left, right, and center. The team doctor was kitted up.
No.
And eventually, India were like, well, okay, look, we've got 536 runs. We're going to win this test match. Maybe you guys can come off and then we'll go in the pollution for a bit. Gareth, the pollution is so bad that a lot of schools are now closed until Wednesday. The pollution is so bad, when you walk out into Delhi right now, it's the equivalent of taking 50 cigarettes in the mouth.
What?
BCCI, Border Complete Under Control in India, they don't give a toss. You must make money. You must go out there and play. I don't care if you've got to vomit into your jocks. Just keep playing.
That is horrendous. That's horrendous.
So if you do watch this test match today, which
I did hear from somebody that Delhi is now the most polluted city in the world.
What a dreadful toilet of a place. You can't host international sport here. And five-day cricket is you basically standing outside all day. Because that's what fielding can be. Especially when you're as cock as Sri Lanka right now. I mean, India are giving them an absolute trousering here. 536 for 7 declared in the first innings. They're 148 for 3 in response. But as Sri Lankan coach Nick Bothers was saying, these guys are literally coming off the field. They've got to take oxygen and they're having a vomit.
God, that's
just
heavy.
Disastrous. India, you should be ashamed of yourselves.
Wow.
And I tell you what, they're now going to come to SA and play. It's India. And they're going to be so hungover. And now you're putting all this pollution. It's just revolting. Absolutely revolting. Golf, huge weekend of golf. Dylan Fratelli, well, he came out on top of Mauritius. This guy's having a hell of a season. The Afrasia Bank Mauritius Open is what he won. He got into a playoff with Arshad Atwal, who was the first round leader from India. And Fratelli now sits just outside of the top 50. Now, when you're the top 50 in golf, as I mentioned many times before, that is it. You're in the money and you get invited to the Masters. So Fratelli, who, well, when he started his pro career, he didn't look so flash, but he was a great college talent in America. And now second win in the European Tour, amazing result. But yesterday, Ricky Fowler, he started the Hero World Challenge seven shots back, Gareth. He won by four, 11 under in his final round, incredible 28 in the front nine. The man in orange just kept on flying past everybody while all eyes were originally on the man in red. Good for Tiger Woods, though. He came back pretty strong. And I know everyone's going, oh, it's not a real tournament. It's only 18 people. It's a resort course. It's still golf. It's still golf. And Tiger Woods finished on a credible 8 under par. He beat Matt Kuchar, Justin Thomas, Kevin Kisner, Alex Noren, Daniel Berger, world number one Dustin Johnson, Kevin Chappell, Henrik Stenson, and Brooks Koepka. He beat all of those guys.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. Good on you, Tiger. And he actually seems likable nowadays.
Oh, really? Tiger's, making an effort with people?
Tiger's got to the stage where he's now very much one of the guys. A lot of positive stories coming out of it, out of this whole thing. I know a lot of it's just press spin, but yeah. he was on film, actually in the broadcast last night talking about his final round. And he just seemed like a really like normal guy. Like he wasn't trying to impress anybody. He spoke normally. There was an actual human involved, which for so many times in his career, it just seemed like this facade of, I'm the greatest, everything, fuck you kind of person.
Oh, really?
So I'm really excited about
it. I thought he was just disconnected. He was like very, well, you have he's to almost be like an automaton. Good. He was like a machine.
Well, yeah, to be that good in sports, you got to be. So I'm really excited about whatever progress Tiger Woods can make. I just hope it's sustainable. I just hope it all goes at the right time because he is still 5 years younger than Phil Mickelson. You must never forget that. I know he's a very old 42-year-old, whatever it is, but there is still so much golf left in him. And he's hitting two irons, 270 yards, and with club twirls. So I'm excited. But most importantly, Ricky Fowler was incredible. 18 under par, 61 in the final day. Incredible. The Blitzbox, they won the Dubai Sevens. How bloody exciting. These guys, back-to-back triumphs there in Dubai. So now they go to Cape Town Sevens as clear favourites. I shall be there this weekend. I shall be reporting from the spot. Well, not really, but I'll be there giving you insights. And, well, the Springboks, they lost to Wales B. I'm not entirely sure what else I can really say about that. But Alistair Coetzee, much like a sinking ship, and he's the one rat who's just so arsy, he will then jump on everybody to stay afloat. He says he signed a contract till 2019. Great cop-out, dipshit. We all know you've signed a contract till 2019, but you've been terrible for 2 years. Are you really going to be terrible for another two? It's just woeful, Gareth. It's woeful. This team, I mean, it's Wales B. Seriously, Wales B. When we, I think 1999, we lost to Wales. The country was in mourning back then when the bar was still pretty high. Now, I think it's three times in a row we've gone to the land of 1,000 choirs, and we've lost every time. It's demoralizing. That back line, as always, was absolutely shithouse. That forward pack was just dominant. It must be so, so frustrating. You know, all those bumps and bruises just to see these guys can't tackle in the back. They can't shift the ball properly. And it's just the stupidity from Coetzee to add on to this. Lukanya Am, probably one of the most talented backline players that we have. He was incredible for the Sharks all season at centre. He gets a token 5 minutes in the end on the wing. Wow, Alistair. You really are the gift that keeps on not giving. I've signed a contract in 2019. Just piss off now, please. I know you're not the biggest problem here, but you're a pretty obvious one.
Wow.
That's if you're spot for this
Ben not mincing his words.
Nah, I haven't got time for this anymore. It's December. Nonsense. We need to be happy. Right. Go Blitzbox. You are the example of what a real team culture is like, what real excellence is. And I'm glad to say that you at least are one shining light for us in this world of sport in South Africa.
All right. Thank you, Ben. There we go. Let's not mess around. Let's get straight to Anthea and see what she has for us this morning. It's time for a proper update of the Money Shots.
Here it comes for the money. So hard for it, honey. She was hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
Yeah, Yes, we had fun at Anthea's office on Friday. We had such a good time, huh?
Yeah, it was great having you guys around. It really was fun. Everybody very sociable.
Did Amanda offend any of your colleagues?
No, she was very polite to them. It was just Ben's friend, I believe.
Oh, Ben's friend was rude to them?
Well, Gareth, she didn't have any time.
Oh, she
didn't have time to be rude to anybody else because she was just so busy getting stuck into my friend.
Yeah.
You should have seen Sia, though. He was telling everybody about the market and how it performed and what he thought of the rand.
Oh, really?
when did you eventually have to kick him out?
Not too late. Not too long.
All right, so let's talk about the markets, shall we?
Yeah, I'm nervous to come in after Ben's sport because the market news is not much better. We were down 2% last week, and of course, Naspers was the main driver there. I mean, I think this whole issue with Naspers, first of all, they released their first half 18 results. The share is now a 3,530 Rand share. To think that it was a 4,100 share not so long ago. So the problem, I think, is that when you're releasing a good set of results, the last thing you want is bad news from the company. And this whole story with
MultiChoice
and
Atul Gupta and the SABC.
25 million rands worth to ANN7 and the Guptas. And actually, I think Koos Bekker's response and Bob van Dijk are even worse. Basically, they're saying that MultiChoice is such a small part of Naspers, it doesn't actually matter. And it's not Naspers' problem, it's MultiChoice's.
Well, don't they want to split them off?
Well,
don't they want to like have a separate company that handles the Naspers stuff, and that includes Tencent, and then this little shitty offshoot which includes MultiChoice? And
so what we want is for them to split Tencent out of Naspers, and then Naspers will hold, you know, the classified ads and
all the local
kind of
businesses that aren't making any money.
But they don't want to. They don't.
Of course not, because those companies are buoyed by the Tencent business.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's completely true.
Are they worth anything?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And they're finally making money. So this is the thing, right? Naspers is actually being undervalued by about 1,000 Rand per share by some people's calculations. So it should be a 5,000 Rand share if they split it out. You would get your 10-cent value and then all the other little businesses that are happening. And they don't want to. And everybody's going, please let us have that. Please, like, free that extra money that's sitting there. I'm not sure why the market is still discounting all the other local businesses, to be honest. But I'll tell you what, the reaction to this whole MultiChoice is not good. I think it's a media storm waiting to happen for Naspers. And as soon as the foreigners get hold of it, it becomes another KPMG. So I must admit, as much as I love this Naspers share and Tencent and the fact that we're riding on it and that we're still trading at a discount to our rump, it makes me nervous.
Would you have been happier to offload at 4,000? Could have, would have, should have.
Hindsight 2020 and all that.
Would you have?
I probably would have, yes, for an extra 500 Rand a share. But I'd certainly be buying it here, though. That's the thing, right? So at 4,000, I'd be offloading because in case it came off, which it did. And at this level, 3,500, I'd be loading back up. So
right.
I'm just going to sit out and be patient.
Well, Naspers, you got some splaining to do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we had a bit of macro news. Our private sector credit extension growth came out last week, slightly weaker than expected at 5.4% year on year, where in October it was 5.6. And this private sector credit extension is not just households. It's also corporate lending, which has also been very depressed, I should say. And what it's showing is that people are finally tightening their belts and are nervous, and we are not going to spend our way out of a poor economy. I mean, it's such a shame because US consumer confidence came in last week at its highest level ever. In fact, the S&P 500, this is the fifth year, only ever the fifth year since 1927, that the S&P index has had 11 positive calendar months in this, calendar months in the same calendar year.
Wow.
It's quite spectacular.
So if they do that for December, they would have had the whole year.
I think it'll be the first ever.
That's incredible.
It will be. So really the American
Donald Trump
market
is the greatest.
There you go. He can
I'm
take
the
credit.
Greatest president. You can't take your credit, Obama. I've been in for a year.
Look at him. He's great.
He's loving it. He thinks this is so important. Have you seen him boasting about it on Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't have. Shut up.
I know. It's so annoying. And then the other thing I looked at, because, you know, we got downgraded and the rand is completely counterintuitive.
Yeah.
And so are our
The rand
bands.
Has been strong.
I cannot explain it. I just have no idea. So I keep looking for reasons and trying to find explanations and figure out, you know what we say in our industry, right? When the facts change, we change our mind. But I cannot find any facts to change my mind.
Jacob
about
Zuma
a
is doing a terrific job. What do you mean?
Oh, that's what it is. I'm missing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the sarcasm today. So I must tell you, I looked at, you know, this world government bond index that we keep saying we got downgraded from, and there's 50 billion rands to flow out of it, and
yeah.
They'll sell down our bonds. And I was like, well, why aren't they selling our bonds? What's going on here?
Yeah.
I must tell you, I found one country, Portugal, who got kicked out of the WGBI, the World Government Bond Index, in, when was it? Around, you know, the global financial crisis.
2008,
nine. Remember, I told you Ireland got downgraded in 2009 and they're now the fifth richest. Anyway, same story with Portugal. Portugal was 0.4% of the bond index, as are we, coincidental. And here's the difference, though. Their yields compressed from 13% to 4%. Our yields have stayed below 10%, like out on the 10-year government bond, which is really weird. It's, in my opinion, as if no one cares about us, actually.
So, yeah, it's like we're such a small drop in the ocean, they're actually just not bothered.
Yeah, yeah. So when they get kicked out, people sell their bonds and it's all terrible. But then a while later, not much later, their bonds, their yields compress. So when you know how this works, right? With bonds, you buy high and sell low on yields.
Mm-hmm.
With shares, you buy low, sell high to make a profit.
Right.
Went from 13 to 4%, and that's like a 75% return. And then I realized the difference is that the ECB owns 30% of Portugal's bonds and there's no ECB to come and save us.
Yeah. So but what about the BRICS bank, Anthea?
They don't have money to save us. That's not their mandate.
Oh.
So you do understand the BRICS bank is not the ECB, right? They don't make our policy. They don't buy our bonds or support us.
No, again, I'm just throwing on more sarcasm. It's okay, though.
All right. So, I'm going to just ignore you then.
All right. And company news.
All right. Let's talk about company news. Where do we want to start? We've spoken about Bidvest. Great set of results. Sorry, Naspers we spoke about. I want to speak about Bidvest because they had an analyst day last week. Management seem really upbeat at the moment, despite this weak South African economy. But then I think they're definitely looking offshore to make more acquisitions. The last acquisition, Noonan, that they made, or the last big one, I should say, has actually delivered in excess of management expectations. So they're all very excited. And then they spoke a lot about selling off their non-core assets. So Adcock Ingram, the pharmaceutical business.
Right.
Comair, the one we hold.
Yes.
Because we're very excited about it. They're looking to sell their, I think it's a 20% stake in Comair. And they've said that they actually have a buyer now.
Would you hold on to those Comair shares?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a bit counterintuitive that Bidvest are selling now because there's a lot still to come. Comair are doing particularly well. They've still got this SAA claim that needs to be paid. And we think they're going to win it. Comair are going to win over SAA. Of course, the question is, where's SAA going to find the money? Oh, hang on, your taxpayer money. And then, of course, Bidvest have also said they're going to sell their stake in Mumbai Airport. So it's very exciting. And then management are quite comfortable gearing up the balance sheet. They've said to 2.5 times EBITDA level, which gives them about 12 billion rand to play with. They're on a 3 billion rand a year free cash flow. So you add another billion onto that. And then they've got a nice war chest. So effectively, they've got 20 billion rand to go out and play with for acquisitions.
Wow.
That's a nice little shopping trip.
What do you think they would buy?
Well, they've said they're looking locally and offshore. Grindrod Freight Business, Mercantile Bank, and then offshore they've got a couple of services and commercial products. I mean, they have to go big, right? Because to move the needle for Bidvest these days, like small companies are just going to disappear onto the balance sheet or disappear into the numbers. So they do need to buy big, I'm afraid. So right. It is difficult. It's not as easy as initially when Brian Joffe was building this business.
All right.
Put it that way. And then First Rand has a new chairman, Roger Jardine, because Lowry Dippenaar, one of the founders, is now stepping down. Well, he will step down on the 31st of March. So Sizwe, thank you very much. That is so hard to do. actually declined and said he wasn't available as the new chairman, and so they've put in Roger Jardine. We all like Roger Jardine. He's been around forever. He sits on a lot of the First Rand boards, very kind of stable, solid character. So not too much going on there. And then lastly, I must tell you about Advitec, because we always talk about them, right? They put out a voluntary disclosure last week saying that they had uncovered fraud in the business to 35 million rand or and a half million rand. And that's after tax figures. It's about 8% of profit after tax.
Is it time to sell?
Well, so I was sat on my shares when this came out thinking, when was this? This was Friday morning, in fact. If I get half a chance to sell my shares, I'm going to. Share opened 7% down, and I was like, oh, at 50, it was about 15 Rand 10. We're thinking 14, 13 and a half it'll go to, and it didn't get there. In fact, it bounced back. And I think it bounced back because it only closed. Last time I checked, it was 2% down. And then you guys arrived for drinks. I don't actually know where it closed. but what I'm trying to say is that the PIC owns 10% and Coronation own 20%. So I think that a whole lot of asset managers was selling, and then it got propped up by Coronation and PIC.
Oh.
Because if you have a 20% stake in a business, you're not going to let it go under, especially if you've got free cash, right?
Well, you just buy more shares in it.
Exactly, because it's cheaper, so, cheaper now than it was previously.
What would you do?
So I'm just going to hold on to my shares. Because I like the business anyway, and this, now that the fraud has been uncovered, like, there's nothing I can do about it. The share's down. It's not great. But hopefully they'll fix the problem, or they'll fix the hole, the leakage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about one or two things?
Well, you can ask me about Bitcoin again.
No, I'm going to ask you about, like, Ascendus. What's happening there?
So they've done a rights issue because they needed more money to go on their shopping spree. But yeah, it's not been a great story. We haven't had...
Down 8%.
I know. It's just an unfortunate story, I'm afraid. It's really disappointing.
And Steinhoff?
That's the most annoying share in my portfolio, actually. So Steinhoff is just ridiculously cheap at the moment. And they just have not recovered from all this drama with the German regulators. And you know their previous JV partner. Oh, what's his name? I forget his name now. Andreas something or other. He keeps attacking Steinhoff, saying there's a problem and the regulators keep investigating and then nothing happens. And nothing's come of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the share just can't seem to recover. It's become like... Instead of being the perfect rand hedge, it's actually turned around and acting like a local share. So when the rand's, you know, it's just not reacting properly.
All right.
I think everyone's just worried about the legal issues around their tax. They should have an outcome for us in the next couple of weeks. There's actually three cases on the table at the moment. And we'll wait and see.
Okay.
So I think some people think where there's smoke, there's fire. That's right. What I think. I think they're fine. I think it's cheap and we should be buying.
Okay, Anthea. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Anthea Gardner, The Money Shot. It's 7 o'clock. We're going to speak to Dumi Sol just now and find out what he's up to with My Country Duty and the rest of it. And Country Duty has become this hashtag that trends every other day on South African Twitter. And we'll see what he's up to, what they do there, who they are. And what their purpose is, because I think for a lot of people, it's become part of the conversation for them every other day. And why not discover who the people are behind this conversation? All of that's on the way next. CliffCentral.com, first thing on a Monday morning, the way you start your day. Yeah! It helps. Fill in all the information.
This is CliffCentral.com.